Our Father, we thank you for a beautiful day today, for gathering us here together. We've come here to meet with you. We're craving that life that was promised. And we know that you're here in our midst to draw us out to life. So we ask that you do that through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, good morning. And happy Easter, everyone. It's true, Easter isn't done yet. We've got 6 more weeks to celebrate together. Now, this is good news for more than one reason. Something I love about the Res is that we all come from different church backgrounds. It's really kind of awesome. I'll say this, though. Let's consider ourselves lucky for being in an Anglican church this time of year. Not only do we get to celebrate a whole season of Easter, but we get to do it while enjoying half price on chocolate eggs. It's true, right? If only the stores knew about people like us. Oh, yeah. Well, today, we're continuing our Easter journey with a reading from the Gospel of John. So let's dive in together. We're in chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. This is page 1001 in your pew Bibles. If you don't have one right in front of you, this is a good reason to sidle up to someone else close by. This is one of my favorite episodes from the Gospel. I love how John dramatizes Thomas's struggle and his encounter with Jesus. We often draw on this passage to explore issues of faith and doubt and how that connects with our lives. Thomas is a compelling figure. It's easy to think of him as our contemporary. He's a person who struggles with doubt while trying to remain open to faith. That's something I can relate to. I'm sure we all can in some way. This isn't what I want to focus on, though. There's something else in this passage that's standing out for me. The way Jesus chooses to introduce himself to his disciples. There's a phrase that he repeats throughout our reading. Did you notice it? What is it? What is that little phrase? Peace be with you. What is that? At first, this phrase might seem just incidental. It certainly is compared to everything else that's going on. Imagine the scene. Jesus was dead, and now he's alive. And he's standing right there in the flesh, moving his mouth, forming words. This would have been completely startling. Maybe a little scary, too. Like Night of the Living Dead scary. Of course, Jesus is giving them assurance with these words. It's okay. Don't be afraid. It's me. Still, the greeting itself feels all too ordinary and familiar, like a casual pleasantry. The strange thing is that it comes up again only 2 verses later. Peace be with you. That's curious. Why the repetition? Jesus just said this a moment ago in the very same room among the very same people. If the first greeting seemed casual, this feels more intentional and weighty. Somehow, I think that John means for us to experience it like that too. Here are the disciples scattered around the room, staring in wonder and reeling with so many conflicted emotions. We can imagine Jesus slowing down a bit and looking into their eyes. No, hear me. Peace be with you. This is an important moment, and Jesus seems to be marking it out deliberately. But he doesn't stop there. He uses these same words again a week later. Thomas is with the disciples this time, in the same house as before, and Jesus suddenly appears. Look with me at verse 26. Peace be with you. There it is. At this point, everyone has seen Jesus alive, all except Thomas. Earlier, the disciples had shared their experiences with Thomas, but he wouldn't hear any of it. No, it's absurd. Jesus is dead. We've just got to accept it. You say it's true. Well, fine. I won't believe it. Not till I see the nail prints, not till I touch them with my own fingers and put my hand in his side." These aren't the words of a committed skeptic. Thomas is shaken. He's struggling with doubt, but not because he's especially concerned with empirical proof. He's holding out against disappointment, more disappointment. Of course he wants to join in, but only if it's real and true. Only if it's connected to the Jesus he's known, the Jesus he's been trusting to finally show the way. And suddenly, there he is, with the nail prints and the scars, and these same words, "Peace be with you." What is Jesus up to? Somehow, I think this theme of peace is important in our reading. John is certainly highlighting it for us. The phrase keeps coming back like a refrain in a poem or a song. The question is what it means as the sense deepens with the repetition. One place to begin is with the Hebrew word shalom, which we typically translate as peace. This was a familiar greeting in ancient times. It was a way of saying hello and goodbye in the regular course of life. In one respect, Jesus is simply extending that ancient greeting to his friends. Shalom, Elohim. This is how he might have said it if he was speaking in Hebrew. But he goes further. Shalom has a deeper meaning in Scripture. In many places, it's used to evoke a kind of ultimate peace and harmony in the world. This isn't simply about favorable circumstances or the absence of conflict. Shalom, in this sense, plays to our deepest longings, bringing together God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight. Neil Plantinga captures it beautifully. It's about universal flourishing and wholeness in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts. Coming and going? Which natural gifts are fruitfully employed. It's a state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. In short, shalom is the way things ought to be. That's an amazing vision, and I think that Jesus means for us to pick up on some of this, maybe all of it. Here he stands before his disciples in a resurrected body, bringing all the senses of shalomic peace into play, from a simple greeting among friends all the way out to a time of ultimate fulfillment when God's kingdom has finally come. It's quite amazing if we can take it in. Jesus is slowly revealing the promised future before their very eyes. But there's a challenge here. Jesus doesn't seem all that concerned about the future. "Peace be with you," he says. "Right here, right now, in this time and place." That might have been really hard for the disciples to hear. Consider their situation. Here they are, locked in a room for fear of being persecuted by the religious authorities. Obviously, they are worried about being connected to Jesus and suffering the same fate that he did. And Jesus' presence with them, as amazing as that is, doesn't change those circumstances. Peace. What do you mean, Jesus? Can't you see that we're on the run? That we're hiding from the same people who put you to death? How can we be at peace? There's more. The disciples were not only living in fear of the religious authorities, they were also struggling with deep disappointment. For generations, God's people had been hoping for a strong leader to rise up in Israel, a leader who would deliver them from Roman oppression and establish God's kingdom, his shalom, once and for all. The disciples had thought that that leader was Jesus. He was the long-awaited Messiah, come to set things right in the world. They had banked on it, leaving their families and livelihood to join him in his mission. But it didn't work out the way that they had thought. Jesus had shown promise at many points, but he clearly wasn't that guy. How could he be? He was executed on a cross, like a common criminal. That was the sure sign of a failed Messiah. So here, in this locked room, Jesus returns to them unexpectedly, declaring peace. Again, this would have been a stunning moment, and of course the disciples were glad to see Jesus, overjoyed. But the larger political order remained as strong as ever. Rome was still in power, and the world was really no different than when Jesus arrived on the scene. They'd have to wait longer for their hopes to be realized. Peace. Rome has its own version of that. They call it Pax Romana. It's the sort of peace that killed you, Jesus. An unjust peace, sustained by violence. And now it's coming for us too. How can we be at peace? You know, the disciples had reason to question like this as Jesus came and went that first Eastertide. I wonder about us here today. We have our own struggles too, don't we? With peace, I mean. They may look a little bit different from what the disciples experienced, but the worry and disappointment can feel the same. Even this far along, we hope for the same peace that they did. And it can seem just as fragile and fleeting in our own lives and in the world around us. I'm reminded of this lyric by U2. Heaven on earth, we need it now. I'm sick of all of this hanging around. Sick of sorrow, sick of pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. These are hard words, a psalm-like complaint, but they ring true in a way. We've heard the promises and we continue to dream, but God's shalom can seem so far off, not just for ourselves, but also for others. Sure, we've got ways to cope, to rise above the fray. We know how to do that. We've got options. But this can be part of the challenge. How can we be at peace when we enjoy such privilege? When we're all too aware of just injustice in the world and our part in it. Many of us feel that as a real dilemma. So we can toss and turn in our lives, anxiously striving one moment, numbly retreating the next, always restless for the peace that we desire. I've been reflecting on this past week. What would Jesus have to say to all this? The fear and disappointment, the longing for peace. What would he say to world-weary people like us if he were here in our midst? How would he speak to our concerns? You know, I think it would be painfully simple. He would speak these words one more time. Peace be with you. And he would remain with us until we got what he meant. Yes, this is about shalom. It is about that deeper peace and harmony and justice under God's loving rule that's coming. But not merely as some distant goal on the horizon that's just beyond our grasp. It's a peace that is for here and now in the midst of our troubles as we learn to practice justice and give ourselves in love. There is danger all around. And like the first disciples who all abandoned Jesus in his final hour, we are deeply compromised. But this doesn't mean that we're hanging in the balance, wondering if things can go right. I think we need to stop this morning. Let's listen to the risen one speaking to us down through the ages from that locked room. Look for him turning to you, just like he did with Thomas. Wherever we are, whatever we've done, Jesus means to give us himself. Jesus is our peace. I'm guessing the disciples would have finally got this in that first encounter, huddled behind closed doors. When Jesus sent them out with the blessing of the Spirit to extend God's love and forgiveness into the world, his earlier teaching would have come back to them with a rush. Jesus had to go away, but the Spirit would come and remain with them always, to comfort and lead and guide as they continued in Jesus' mission, but also to fill them with his presence and peace, no matter the circumstances they found themselves in. "Peace I leave you," Jesus said. "My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." These words are for us this morning. They are for us every morning when we gather like this. Now, in a few moments, before we come to celebrate communion together, we'll have a chance to share the peace. This is that awkward time in the service when we move about and greet one another. Introverts love it. Notice the words that we recite at the beginning. Julie will lead us off. "The peace of the Lord be always with you," and we'll respond. These words come down to us from Jesus. He is the one leading us out this morning. That's a remarkable thing if you think about it. As we share these words with each other, let's appreciate what's taking place. We are not merely saying hello and wishing each other well, managing our own sense of ease or discomfort. Rather, it's about us together extending and receiving the peace that Jesus has given, a peace that the world cannot give. Whatever challenges we're facing today, let's open ourselves in faith together. Jesus is here. He is with us. And he is our peace. Amen.